Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change, and not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually, and as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
Grace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. And I almost gave up. It's turned around. You know, and I noticed how, you know, in life, you know, we ask God for cars, we ask God for material things. But I ask God a question. I have a supernatural request. Say, I need you to make my car ride like an SUV today. And he did. And he did. And I made it here. I made it, and I thank God for my thank God for you all, your worship, and my wife, because she knew I was frustrated. And I thank God for giving her what I needed at the time to get myself together. Because sometimes, you know, when we're frustrated, we're ineffective. And I just thank God just for us. Then that's why we need one another. Because sometimes it's our prayers, our sticking together that keeps us going. So I just thank you, God. Open up in prayer. Father God, let's just thank you. Thank you for each and every one of us that made it here, oh God. I ask, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you take front seat. Give me what I need for the people that's here and the people that's online, oh God, and the people across the globe that may be watching this, oh God. Give me what's needed for them, oh God. I stand out of the way, Lord, as you take place. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are just continuing to do mighty things in this ministry, Lord. And I'm just excited about the things to come and just continue to bless those that are in preparation, Lord God, to use their gifts and to use the tools that you have gave them, oh God, to advance the kingdom. And I just thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. There's no frustration like a person that has to deliver a message and things just go haywire. But I thank you for a God that keeps us together in those times. Keep our mind together. All right, so today I was asked to speak on being prepared. And the subtitle that the Lord gave me was Don't Drop Your Armor. And I'm gonna tell you, once we get to our reading, I'll go more into that context. Get my notes together. Okay, so if you can, go to your Bible to Matthew 24. We're going to do a little reading here. Go to Matthew 24, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I just want to give honor to my leaders, Bishop and Pastor Mom, a wonderful apostle, in her absence. Just continue to pray for her and love on her. And, you know, just glad that the Lord has kept her during this time and allowed her to see another year, celebrate her birthday. Happy birthday to you again, Apostle. And then to my partner for life, my wife, just for, you know, sticking by my side and being there with me in ministry and keeping a balance, you know. Thank God for balance. I just say that. All right, so Matthew 24, 1 through 8, and it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciple pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What signs will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but in the end won't follow immediately. Nations will go to war against one another, against nations, and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this is only the first of the birth pains, more to come." All right, so we're going to jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. Get there. This Bible want to act like it don't want to turn, so, you know, thank you God for modern technology. I'm going to open up this Bible app. We're going to go right to Ephesians 6, and it's, I think it was 10 to 18, and it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Thank you, Lord, for your reading. All right, so I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of how the subtitle came. So I guess we have this thing called we call it the DOT Chronicles because Bishop is the bus driver. And so, you know, we always tell our story of how we got called, you know, or whatever to minister the word. So mine was Wednesday, you know. Everybody calls me by a nickname. You know, all my life I've been called T, Maul, Molly, Molly Maul, all this other stuff. So when somebody calls me by my first name, I'm like, okay, what did I do to you? Right, so I saw I got the text message from Bishop, and I said, okay, he told me, I want you to get prepared. And I said, okay, maybe there's something for media ministry or something like that. And he said, I want you to speak on. And I said, oh, okay. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong to this man? But, you know, it's humor. Please don't take it out of context. It's humor. Because, you know, but because we thank God because he noticed we have something in us. Because I'm thinking to myself, what hasn't he already said or mom said that I have to say? But I have to realize that, you know what, just prepare yourself because you never know when you're chosen next. Listen to that. All right, so like I said, a visual, I had a day vision, and sometimes I have day visions. I'm sure some of you have it too. And I had a day vision that I was sitting on a stool and I was in armor. And I have my helmet off, and I have my, what they call them, gauntlets, but I have, you know, my gloves were off, you know, just for practical terms. I had my gloves off, and I was just sitting there, and I had my head down, and I was just sitting in the stool, and I was battle weary. And as I was battle weary, I was just there. I was there thinking, you know, like, you know, what's going on, or, you know, in my mind, what's happening, you know. And I don't know about anybody else that's been going through this fast, but I told Bishop, my challenge has not been food. I've been having a fight with myself lately. A fight with myself. This is what this fast has been doing. Frustration, anything that you could think of has been rising up in my life. And as I was sitting in there, sitting on the stool, I realized I wasn't suited up. I was unprepared for what was coming next. So, gotta excuse me because my notes are all over the place. But we're gonna make it make sense today. So, in this passage, Jesus was talking about a shift in preparations. And in Matthew 24, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's to come and how to maneuver during these times. He is teaching them how to adjust beyond the norm because the enemy will use tactics to try and deceive us. Jesus was all our spiritual gifts in one. But see, what God was doing, he was not just foretelling the future to warn us. If you really read the passage and get a deeper understanding, Jesus was preparing us to use our spiritual gifts. And it's not by coincidence that's what we're talking about right now in Bible study. Most of us look for signs and miracles, you know, and wonders. But Jesus was providing a template of things to come that we should avoid. He warned us about defectors in the church. You know, there are going to be some that will leave. There are going to be some that stay and just take up space. They will have a negative undertone. Cold responses. No matter what you tell them or how you help them, they will always have a negative defense, which makes them vulnerable to the enemy. See, listen to this. A person can only recognize that they're vulnerable if they can't see you. Let me make that make sense to you guys. No matter how much armor you have on, if you're missing a piece, they're going to point out the piece that you're missing while they're standing there naked. So no matter how foolish they may be, you have to be fully suited for the cause. So our armor provides a line of defense against the enemy. See, the word comes from panoplia. We get complete equipment. That's the Greek word. Head-to-toe protection, both defensively and offensively. Textbook says Paul came up with the metaphor armor of the Lord while being chained to a Roman soldier. This gives us our ability to stand firm. Our ability to stand firm depend on the use of our armor. So I dug a little deeper because, you know, I like the Game of Thrones and all that other stuff. So, you know, I just want, just for text purposes, I looked up knighthood. And in knighthood, a knight is usually given his instruction by a king or a lord. So it was hard to deceive a knight. Each knight had his own flag or banner that identified him on and off battlefield, called a coat of arms. The pattern and the colors of the flag were often repeated on his shield and on other items belonging to the knight. So In Matthew 24, Jesus was telling you that even the elect will be, some of the elect will be deceived. But when you have your coat of arms, see, a knight knows his Lord. Can't nobody come and give you no other instructions because the knight knows his Lord. Make sure you're wearing your coat. You know, we talk to our kids all the time, going outside, going out the house without a coat. It's not just to keep you warm, but it's also a representation of who you belong to. That means you're taken care of. So when you wear the Lord's coat of arms, that means that you're covered. So each knight has his own on flag or banner that identified him on and off on battlefield. So we went there. Okay, so the knight has seven virtues that he lives by, like a standard. And the first one is courage. So it says a knight must have courage of the heart necessary to undertake tasks which are difficult, tedious, unglamorous, and to graciously accept the sacrifice involved. We have to have courage. I mean, sometimes, you know, like sitting up here at this sacred desk is not easy. Just like some other things you do. I'm sure singing is not easy for Judah. It's not easy sometimes. You know, you got things on your plate, you're going through stuff, you know, things rise up against you, but you have to have courage. Even when there's one or two people sitting, you have to act as if it's thousands. You have to have that courage to keep going. You know, when I was driving today, my anxiety, I don't know, ever since, you know, I've been dealing with anxiety since I lost my father, you know, or whatever. It's just something that came with grieving. It just popped up out of nowhere. But through my anxiety, I was like, you know what? My assignment is more important than my anxiety. So I just had to keep it going. I had to keep moving. So we have to have courage, justice, and don't kill the messenger. This is what the Lord said. So the rest, we got to stand for something. Stop providing a safe haven for your members and your friends to have conversations about your leaders. You got to have justice. Don't stop providing a safe haven, because it's almost like you're deliberately putting a crack in the foundation when you can smooth it out. So you got to have justice. Got to have justice. Mercy. Mercy. People going to make mistakes. People going to do things that you don't like. You know, so I can, you know, I beat up on myself and the Lord beat up on me too, but you know, in this time of my life, you know, I love helping people. Put anything in my hand and I will help somebody with it, but I don't like people. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And the Lord has been, because, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, I'm a loyal individual. So when you know you're done wrong, you're just like, yeah, you know, I still help you, but my dad used to have this saying, dealing with people with a long wooden spoon. Like, I help you, but, you know, stay your distance. But the Lord's been dealing me with that, because I had to have mercy. Because there's things that he may have showed me mercy for. He could have took me out. You know what I'm saying? He could have took me out. He could have removed me from whatever I was doing. But he gave me mercy. So I'm operating in that same mercy for others. Generosity. You have to be willing to give beyond, and it's not just a financial thing. You have to be willing to give yourself. Give yourself. Go beyond the norm. You know, just like I spoke about just a minute ago, you have to go beyond the norm. You have to be open to do things for others that's out your comfort zone because of how you feel. You got to be generous. You got to be willing to help others. You know, it's not just an amen and a prayer and a bag of chips. You know, sometimes you just got to, you know, you have to, you know, help them and be there for them and encourage them and lift them up. You know, faith. A knight has faith. You know, no matter how the battle looks, a knight has faith that he's going to walk out alive. A knight, he does. And he's going to bring everybody back with him. You know, so that's just like, you know, if the devil stole something from you and you praying to get it back, have faith that he's going to help your brother too as well, your sister. Nobility. Got to be noble. Got to be noble. We're going to have times where we, you know, I ain't really feeling this. I don't want to do this. You know, I want to throw in the towel. I want to give up. But you have to stay noble to the cause. Just keep your armor on. Keep your armor on. Suit up. Suit up for the occasion. Hope. Hope. Things will change. Stick it out. Stick it out. Things will change. You just have to be willing to have hope that things will come into fruition. Those things that God told you about, the things that God said he was going to do, they will come into fruition. See, because most of us, but in order for some of these things to happen, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for the battle. Because we're not fighting against a fleshly enemy. We're fighting against spirits. So you got to have your spiritual armor on at all times. See, most of us understand preparation because you don't have to be a believer to understand preparation. Preparation is a daily practice in our lives. Check this out. We prepare for work. We prepare breakfast for ourselves and our family. We prepare dinner. We prepare for our next day. We even prepare our mouths to cuss out someone if they crossed us the wrong way. And some people even prepare to sin. But the question is, are you prepared to be used by God? See, a lot of times we spend years not knowing our place because we don't seek preparation. We prepare our mouths to critique those that are brave enough to be used, but we don't prepare our hearts to seek Him for ourselves. It takes more preparation, check this out, to rebel than it does to submit. See, rebellion is thought out. Because it is fueled by your own ideology. And are you prepared to use your gifts to help others? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to use your gifts to help others? It's time out. You know, it's so much here to be done. It's so much in the community to be done. It's so much in ministry to be done. But we have to be willing to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves to be used. Are you prepared to give beyond your normal frequency of giving? Not just, you know, mentioned earlier. Not just, you know, give me a tear. Here you go. Leave me alone. You get tithes and offers. Yeah, don't bother me no more. But are you willing to give yourself? You know, getting up at 4:00 in the morning, praying with a brother or sister that's going through, you know. Praying for somebody else's children, helping mentoring somebody else's children. Your children good, but somebody else's children might not be good. And also, are you prepared for some of your unanswered prayers to be requested by God this year? See, God didn't say, He didn't say no, He just said not yet. But you got to put something out there in the atmosphere for Him to respond to. So you got to prepare yourself, prepare your communication, prepare through a worship lifestyle. Also, are you prepared for Christ's return? It's being realistic. You know, I believe there's still a lot that needs to be done in this world before He, you know, makes His return, but let us be ready. Let's be ready by our walk, by the way we carry ourselves. You know, if you look at Paul was in, he was chained to a Roman soldier, encouraging a church. You know, if you look in Ephesians 6, you know, he was establishing Christian conduct in the church. You know, because now you have an order has been set. You know, you had servants and masters, and now both of them were Christians. So he was kind of tweaking their thoughts, like, okay, now you have to treat him better than you treated him before. You got to treat your children better than you treated them before. Because now they're connected to you. They're connected to something greater. All right, so God wants to use you. All of you. All of you. Pat. Elder Deb. Glow, Chris, Brandon, God wants to use you because your gift has a place. And God wants to exhaust your gift. Not the exhaust you think about, but or you may be thinking about, but He wants to put so much in you that you have no other choice but to release it, which in return will enhance it. That is why some drivers will customize their car because they want to get the best performance out of it. See, God wants to customize us by using kingdom armor that will protect us from carnal distractions. God wants our gift to increase, but first there has to be a buildup. You can say yes all day, but preparation is the acceptance to God using you. Nothing we go through is extraordinary. Nothing. We all going through different stuff with different names. Well, same stuff with different names. But what makes it extraordinary is the preparation that you use for God to change you. So we got to be ready for the shift. You know, like, I mean, I'm celebrating a milestone in my life. You know, this year I'll be at True Gospel for 20 years, been with my wife for 20 years. And I celebrate, if Lord willing, for all of those, I'll be celebrating 40 years of life. And with that being said, my preparation is different than it was when I was 20. You know, I used to could work late or be out late or whatever, jump up, get a Mountain Dew, and live on and go on about my business. But now when I wake up, like my this knee on the right side, it don't want to act right. I got a kickstarter sometimes. I mean, I'm just being honest. But my preparation is different. You know, like even how I respond, like 20 years of relationship, 18 years of marriage, 20 years of relationship, I'm not responding to my wife the way I used to. My preparation with her is different. It means I'm prepared. I'm not prepared to clap back or say nothing to her that's out of line, but I'm prepared to, you know what, how can we resolve this? How can we fix this? You know, right now we're building business together. And I ain't gonna lie to you. Anybody that's built a business, sometimes money don't wanna cooperate. Sometimes it comes in and then it don't come in. You know, but I'm preparing myself for greater. You know, they say sometimes you have to put things in your subconscious. Like, you know, I don't have an SUV yet, but in my mind I do. I got a tape to my wall in my office. The car I want, the way it's laid out, I got a tape to my wall because I'm preparing for what's next. I'm preparing for greater. And we have to prepare for greater. We got to not let negativity cause us to remove. Because sometimes we get, think about this. I notice when a person gets home, they remove articles of clothing because they want to feel relaxed. But just think about that from a spiritual aspect. When you come in sometimes, you remove your armor. Because, you know, I used to notice, like, growing up, my dad worked in the plant. I've been doing Elder Terry all my life. He worked in, you know, factory work. And, you know, I noticed both of them would come down and sit down for a minute. You know, I don't know, they may have took off their shoes or something, but they because there's a shift taking place. There's a different, you're dealing with a different animal. You're shifting from work to home. But with that being said, we have to always prepare for each shift by fully suiting up, because the enemy has strategies for every place that we serve, whether we are at home, at work, or even at church. We got to be prepared for the shift here. The shift is coming. The shift is coming, and we have to be ready, because the Lord never changes, but he changes us, because his will contains shifts that we must be willing to make in order to properly prepare for the road ahead. So as you grow, you got to prepare differently. Keep on your armor. You know, keep on your armor. You can't, you know, you respond to things the way you used to respond to. Keep on your armor. You can't fight the way you used to. Keep on your armor, because your fleshly brother and sister is really not your enemy. You got to really, you got to throw on your armor to fight the spirit. You know, a lot of people, we want to sometimes throw hands, toss you around a little bit and show you we're not playing, but that's not the fight we fight. We fight in a spiritual battle that you got to have your gauntlet on, you know, to resist distractions, to resist the whatever the enemy throws at you. You know, your chest plate, your shields on your legs, your boots. You got to lace up your helmet that gives you tunnel vision. When you got tunnel vision, can't nothing, all the stuff coming from this direction, you can't see it. I'm not seeing you. I'm looking at the enemy. I ain't looking at his distraction. I'm looking at you, because because you're the problem, not the distractions. You are. So if I defeat you, I can defeat the distraction. And how do you defeat the distraction? By having on God's armor. You can't beat the man. I remember back in the day, I used to always tell you, you can't beat the devil by yourself. You can't. So stop trying. Put on your armor. Stop sitting around with a helmet off or gloves off and thinking that, oh, yeah, I'm going to win this battle. You're going to be just like me in that vision, sitting on that stool with your head down like, man, I'm frustrated. You're frustrated because you dropped your armor. Put on your armor. You know, there's going to be things that we're going to come up against, rise up against, but we got to have on our spiritual armor. Amen. Take a little water break here. So, have to be ready for the shift. Go back to Matthew. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, Jesus mentioned in this passage. That you will be, you know, there will be famines, there will be earthquakes in parts of the world. But he said, but all this is only the first part of the birth pains with more to come. So you have to have your armor. You have to have your armor on. You have to be prepared for these things that's coming. And guess what? He even said, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. So it's still there's still work to do. You know, I know I've been hearing a lot about people say, you know, end times happened when Jesus descended. I mean, truth be told, we've been in the end times for a long time. You know what I'm saying? So we already know. We're aware that the end is near. But there's still work to be done. We can't retire yet. You can't take off your armor and put it down and say, oh, Lord, ascend me. There's still work to be done. A lot of us are going to be in the thick of it. And we have to be suited up. So, yeah, so just continue. Continue to shift. You're shifting. A lot of us are shifting. You know, it doesn't feel good all the time. You're getting frustrated. You're getting growing pains. But stick to it. Stick to it. Stick to one another. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. God will strengthen you. God will strengthen you. As long as you are fully suited, God can work with you. Because that represents your obedience. That represents, okay, the Holy Spirit, whatever you have for me, I know is in this armor. So I'm going to put it on so you can help me. Help you on your job when you're frustrated and people are coming against you and saying things and trying to fault find. Put on your armor. Put on your armor. It's time out to keep getting fired because you want to talk back. Put on your armor. Put on your armor and watch what God does. Watch how he fights for you. It's also you have to be, you know, I can recall that, you know, you have to just be willing to be used. Let God use the gift in you. You know, because I was laughing with my wife one day because I had to speak somewhere. And we were actually on a company trip, and the guy was like, our vice president is a Christian. He's like, I want Tamar to deliver the word for Sunday. I'm like, huh? So tell on myself a little bit. When I, you know, first started ministering, like I said, you know, like looking at people, I didn't want to, you know, want to say whatever God had to say to me in Jesus' name, amen. But it was more to that. God wanted to, he didn't want to, I submerged myself in my notes so I could try to be avoided from him using me. And it got to the point to where the Lord said, okay, you want to do that? I got you. That day I had to preach, I had like a half a page of notes. She'll tell you. And she's like, what's going on? I'm like, I am studying. It just ain't clicking. But it clicked when I got up there because the Lord said, I want me to be seen. I don't want you to submerge yourself in this. I want you to be seen. I had to suit up. I had to suit up and I had to allow God to give me my instruction so I can give what was needed for that time. So we have to be willing to be used. Willing to be used. And that's my bit for the day. So thank you. You may stand. Man. Of course, this is the moment for anyone who doesn't know the Lord and Savior that they would like to give their life to God, or you know, would like to join his ministry, or just even join a church that can, you know, just a Bible believing church that's gonna give you word and give you self. You know, I just encourage you to take that extra step. You know, and sure, we all got home folk in here, so everybody knows the Lord. So I just wanted to open up the opportunity online, you know, just to repeat this prayer of salvation. If you want to give your life to God, just repeat after me. Father God, I've acknowledged that I'm a sinner, and I first want to repent, oh God, for things that I may have done, Lord God. And I open up my heart to you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by accepting you into my life. I'm acknowledging today, acknowledging your death, your resurrection, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Excuse me. And I'm taking you in my life, and I acknowledging that I will be forever changed at this moment. And I just thank you for coming into my life, and I thank you for doors that you're going to open up for me, and how you're going to use my gifts for the world. And I just thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget as well, your ways to give. You have tgtchurch.org, which is our website, and you have Cash App, $TGTChurch. Those are both of the ways that you can give. And just continue to pray for this ministry, because there are some things that we're trying to launch, you know, whatever. And I just ask, you know, that you, if you can, within your heart, those are online and those aren't here, if you can just give a little extra and attach media ministry to it, because there are some things that we want to do and we need your help. So I just thank you. And if all minds are clear, we can close out. I just thank you, God, for today. I thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies. I thank you, God, for those that's getting ready to go back to their homes, God, that you will protect them, cover their cars, Lord, the tires, all the way to the vehicles, even the vehicles that get close to them, oh God. Keep them under control, oh God. No spin outs, Lord, no accidents, oh God. We pray, Lord God, that anybody that's doing any day traveling today, God, that you keep them safe. We pray, Lord God, that you just continue to give us the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord, to continue to take this ministry further, oh God. Pray, Lord, that all the gifts will be unlocked and be brought to the forefront. And we just thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org. and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.